By the way, you guys take courses in public speaking. I will tell you, Lania Staiti, the absolute number one lesson of public speaking is never have more than one page of notes in front of you. If you have 20 pages of notes, you're not going to be able to give a good cheer. So try it. Okay. Anyway, this is a course in Maral, and I do so with great trepidation. Rabbi Jacobs kind of didn't force me, but sets it as an important option. Let me just say first that this is not going to be a Rav Moshe Shapiro type course. He, of course, is maybe the world's greatest expositor of the Maral's Machshava. And here, what we're going to try to do is try to give you a hakdama to who the Maral was, what is the teichen of his svarim, and some selected machshavas from the various svarim. I'll try, if I can get my act together, to actually give you excerpts in the lashon of the Maral that you can read ahead of time and we can discuss. But it's not going to be an Ian share, so to speak. After all, we're trying to cover a broad understanding of the Maral, so we're not going to be able to do anything to Ian. I will say one thing, though. When people think of Maral, Maral has a certain vocabulary that he uses over and over and over again. The Maral has a very consistent vocabulary. And the two words that everybody identifies with Maral are Chomer and Surah. And in fact, I've even seen a younger man write a whole sefer explaining, Chomer and Surah, and kind of going into the Maral. The emphasis is, I have to tell you, that Chomer and Surah is the least original thing the Maral wrote. It is not his term at all. It is a conventional term that was taken from Greek philosophy. Not in Hebrew, but matter and form. It goes back to Plato, and it was used by all of the philosophers, Jewish, Christian, and Islam of the Middle Ages. So the thing that people think is the most unique machudistic idea of the Maral is Badavka, not an original thing. Now the Maral, of course, is it to be Masber many, many Mamari Chazal, and the Maral is Megala Tzafunais and Megala Amukais with the concept. But the Lashon itself is Bechlal, not a Mechudishtik, a Maral Lashon. Yeah.
Would it be proper or improper to say that the Maral is a philosopher through Kabbalah?
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, the Maral uses philosophical language, there's no question. Chaymer Tzura, many, many of the shyness of the Maral are actually terms that appear in Mor Nebuchim and the Rambam Gufa borrowed terms from Greek philosophers, Islamic philosophers, and the like. But the Maral is not a philosopher. Rav Huttner said this, and this is very, very emes. The Maral is not a Mekubal either in the sense that the Maral does not use Kabbalistic terminology, but exactly as you said, the Maral tries to be Masbir, the Yesodos of Kabbalah, through the language of rational philosophy. But in point of fact, the Maral, in the Hakdamas of the Maral, some of the Hakdamas that were written by his children and by his grandchildren, they say the Maral was not a Mekubal, he had no Sheikhas to the Chachma of Nister, you will never find it mentioned in his Sfarim. But the emphasis is that's not true. It is true that he doesn't mention Sifrei Kabbalah in his Sfarim, that's very true. But the reason they wrote that was because by the time they were writing it, it was a little dangerous to be a Mekubal. It was a Shabsai Tzvi, and there was a backlash against Kabbalah and the like. But it's a double pashut, both Moshe Shapiro, Rav Huttner before him, and really Rav Tzadik, all of the different Gedalim that were Mishtamish with the Maral were all Makir, that the Yesod of his Devarim were in Chachmas HaEmes and Chachmas HaKabbalah. But he tried to explain it utilizing the language of philosophy. Chaim Rin Sur is one of those terms. So let me just talk a little bit about the history of the Maral. Actually, very, very interesting history. He is a bit of a mysterious figure, as in point of fact. There are many things we don't know about him. He also had a stormy career. We think the Maral, Baruch Hashem, wrote so many Svarim, so we think of the Maral as a person who was like in a Beis Medrash all day, or in his house all day, just writing and learning. He had a very stormy career. He was very involved in many inyanim of Kehilas in Europe. And in fact, most of his career was not in Prague, and he was in Prague three different times. Two times, he was kind of forced out of Prague. They kind of kicked him out. when he went back to Poland, towards the very end of his life, they finally invited him back, and he died as the chief rabbi of Prague. But in fact, you'll see, as I'll go through some of the history, you'll see, Taka, why the Maral was sometimes unpopular. His name is pronounced, no, Maral, because his name was Yehuda, Yehuda ben Bezalel, Rav Yehuda ben Bezalel, but the Lamed is Leva. So it's Yehuda Leva ben Bezalel. That's spelled Lamed Yud Vav Vav Aleph. Leva is an old German term for Leib. It's not in use anymore, because Leib is, of course, the Yiddish for lion, Yehuda Leib, right? So it was Yehuda Leva was the older term. It's not a common pronunciation anymore. The Maral was the second of four brothers, all of whom were great Talmidei Chachamim. The Maral was the most mefursem, but the Maral's older brother was also quite a great person. He was Rav Chaim ben Bezalel. You may have heard of Rav Chaim ben Bezalel. He actually wrote a very great sefer. In fact, it's one of Rav Schiller's favorite svarim, the Sefer HaChaim, which is also on Inyanim of Musar and Midas and Hashkafa. And in fact, if you look at the Vilna Shas, look at any Shas by the Hadron, right? The Hadron, and it has the ten sons of Rav Papa. So it'll say Bior Yafeh LeDivrei Hadron Nimtzayim B'Sefer HaChaim LeAchi HaMaral. So it's a shtickle chaval that he's called Achi HaMaral, because he was actually a great, great gadol in his own right. It's similar a little bit to the Chazon Ish's brothers. The Chazon Ish had brothers also who were mamish gedolei Torah, like Rav Meir Karelis, but we always call them the brother of the Chazon Ish. But Sefer HaChaim was very chashuv. And in fact, the Sefer HaChaim, this is interesting, because you'll see how the Maral is a little different. The Sefer HaChaim, or Rav Chaim ben Bezalel, learned B'chavrusa with the Rama in Poland. The Rama is from the generation right before the Maral. And the Rama was the elder Chavrusa of the Sefer HaChaim. And they learned by Rav Shalom Shachna. Rav Shalom Shachna may not be, I see, you know, it may not be well known to many of you, but Rav Shalom Shachna was actually the one who was Miyase, the first yeshivas in Poland. And the Maral Badavka, they say, did not learn by Rav Shalom Shachna. In fact, the Maral was a great misnagate, because Rav Shalom Shachna pioneered in Poland a derech halimut that was called pilpul. Now, pilpul doesn't just mean learning bein. I mean, obviously, I mean, Chazal used the lashon pilpul, but pilpul was a certain type of, well, depending if you're a pro or con, but it was a certain type of what was later characterized as an artificial type of limud, in which you compare things that are not really connected in Svara, and you make all sorts of complicated binyanim and the like, and often the maskanis were not emes, but the justification was to be mechadeh the seichel, and Rav Shalom Shachna perfected this to a very, very extreme measure. We're going to see the Maral writes Badafka. He was absolutely against that whole derech halimud. Some say he did learn by Rav Shalom Shachna, but the emes is we have no remes at all who the Maral learned with. It's almost kimada yesh meayin. It seems to be, you know, just like the Rugachever said, his only Rebbe was the Rambam. That's what the Rugachever said. His Rebbe was the Rambam. The emes is it's kimat nira that the Maral's Rebbe were Chazal. The Maral looks at Chazal, and Chazal is his Rebbe. The Maral was actually very independent, and some say he didn't go to yeshiva at all. He mamish taught himself. Others say he went to Rav Shalom Shachna, but he was mired against the derech. He rebelled against that particular derech.
Huh? Is pilpul still around nowadays?
Pilpul is more or less, and some of the Hasidic yeshivas still use the derech ha-pilpul. But essentially, the Maral began the attack, and the Gra finished it off. So in the literature world, the Gra kind of killed off Pilpul, and then it paved the way for Rav Chaim and the Derechim of Havana and the like. So Pilpul is not common. But although it's interesting, Rav Yisrael Salanter had a very interesting mavucha. Rav Yisrael Salanter, Beteva, was a tremendous story and a tremendous Eloi. And he was naita to the derech of pilpul and charifas of making, you know, madama milsa la milsa. And then he stopped it. He said it wasn't emes. And he has to concentrate on the daf and on the Pashas Pshat to try to understand it. But then, it turned out like this. Listen to this. He then was chaser from it because he says, Svara and Amkus is totally on your machshava. It's not a hisbatlus to the Ratzon Hashem. It's an interesting complication. He says, "What? It's hard to explain this without giving concrete examples. I don't have that many concrete examples. But people kind of create connections, even if logically there doesn't seem to be a connection. But if the Gemara is Madama something, you just work off the Dinyan without understanding it, and then you build all sorts of marachas. So we saw Salanter held the Saif Yama, that Pilpul was a greater beetle to the Ratzon Hashem because the Torah didn't have to make sense to your logic. In other words, you're working with an artificial logic system, as it were, as opposed to Rav Chaim's Derech or even the Graz Derech, where like everything has to be svar. So we saw Salanter went back to Pilpul, but in Lita he was a Das Yochid.
That's just to work on his Midas.
Yeah, it's kind of work on his Midas. Yeah.
Yeah. So when we say that the Maharal was in the Kubal,
yeah,
we don't mean that he received any sort of Kabbalah in the Zinyan. Just that he was working with those svar or something.
Well, if we assume again, the Maharal is very very reticent. He never mentions any Rabbanim at all. So our assumption would be that maybe Eliyahu HaNavi, but it seems to me the Maharal of Kemad, all of the classical Svarim, the Maharal directly learns from Chazal. The Maharal looks at Chazal, looks at Medrash, looks at Agada, looks at Kabbalah, and the Maharal says, these are my teachers, these are my Rebbeim, these are what I get my Hadracha from. And in fact, the Maharal has big Arkos. There's some very famous passages, which you might call social passages. They're not necessarily complicated, but they're very interesting because he's attacking evils that he saw. He hates what Magidim do. What does a Magid do? Even, and this happens even today, even though we don't have Pilpul. People like have a beautiful machshava, so they kvetch it into a pasuk or a maimer chazal with a pun. Let me call it chassidish word, but it's not chassidish word. You know, it's a pun or a dreidel or a vertlach, and people write whole svarim of pshetlach and vertlach. The Maharal says like this, if you have a good idea to say that's kedai, that helps people, just say it. He says, why do you have to fake it by putting it into Chazal if that's not what Chazal mean? Now he's saying, it might be you have a good idea. You know, Musser, you know what I mean? It might be you're saying something useful. But Imamish was very misnagged to the notion of being machnis your own rayainis into Mamari Chazal, because instead of trying to figure out what Chazal are trying to tell you, you're looking for Chazals in which you can put in what you want to say. And he
what
says, I have to get it. I'm very weak in Maharal Mekayimus, but I mean, I'll try to get you the quote here. I don't have it in front of me, but I wasn't planning it. This just came out right now. But the actually Maharal Mekayim on purpose. But the Maharal basically says, the Maharal basically says, if you want to say something, just say it, and don't be machnis to be ma'akeim esaksuvim or psukim. Now the emphasis, I want to say a little bit. That, well, maybe I shouldn't say it, but I'll say it because I think it has something interesting. It's a little bit of a shtach, you know, the Maharal, one of the people the Maharal lost to when the Maharal left Prague at various times because he didn't get the Rabbanus, was the Kliyokar got the position instead. And the Kliyokar, you know, was a very, very meforsim dikadarshan who says beautiful things, and the Kliyokar's derech sometimes is to be machnis, a beautiful machshava, into the lashon of Chazal. So it's neat in the Yomer Epsher Ksas a little bit. It was a shtickle taychacha to the Kliyokar who became the Rav of Prague instead of the Maharal. Yeah.
That Rabbi Sal Salanter is an Igeris, or
this is it's not Igeris Hamusher, but if you get a complete set of the Igeris, you can see in Ari Sal. Yeah. That in fact, by Yisrael Salanter, they're saying an amazing Maisa. It's not Nogea this in particular, but it's a very amazing Maisa that when he was Miyasei the Tnuas HaMusar. So many people were misnaged. Many Gedolim were misnaged. In fact, I remember. Did you ever see this? This is a beautiful set of four Chalkim called Tnuas HaMusar. You've ever seen it? It's very very nice. It's biographies and Maisim of all of the Gedolei HaMusar. We saw Salanter, the Altar of Kelim, the Altar of Slobodka, all these different Maises. So it's four volumes. there's a fifth volume that was privately circulated. You couldn't get it. It was called Pulma Samusser. This is the Mechaber documented the yeshivas that were misnage to Musser and the charamim and even beating people up. Rabbi Chassman, great mashgiach, the Bachraman tells at some point in the middle of the night they kind of put a bag over him and tied him up and threw him out of town, you know, whatever, all sorts of bizarreness. And the lecturers, that's why they need Musser, actually, you know, it's someone who does that. So this was a hard safer to find because it wasn't the Lashon Hara and things like that. So but I remember that we were working very hard in Eretz Yisrael to kind of find the Pulma Samusser and the like. But Rabbi Sol Salanter had to make a case because Lamashal Rav Chaim, and before the Beis Halevi, they were misnagi to Musser because they said Tyrus Masakin the Midas. You don't need Musser. Tyrus Masakin. The Chavis Chaim's answer and Rabbi Sol's answer before that was, Taira is the mazon for a healthy neshama. But when you're a sick neshama, you need medicine too. And the musr is the medicine for the sick neshama. The Emes says the Brisker Rav said later. Remember, the Brisker Rav Chaim was the last Rosh Hashiva with the Netziv of the Lashon. The Brisker Rav says it was Mina Shemayim that the Lashon was closed down. As great a tragedy as it was. Because Volozhin was a yeshiva without musr, people were nimshech to haskala and all sorts of things, and fakert, it needed, lamafreya at least, we need to say, it needed to be closed down so there would be Mir and Slobodka and all the yeshivas that tried to build a midas. So anyway, the maaseh for Yisrael, I want to tell you about being shaver the midas, als pilpul. The maaseh here was that he used to, even though he was an anaf, and he was a nechbel akelim, obviously, but he used to go to places and give real complicated shiurim so people would be mechabedim, and then they would listen to his ideas about Musser. So he would put up Mara Mekaymus, 30, 40 Mara Mekaymus, and he would give a shiur. And he would go around different cities and Lisa and give shiurim like this. So one time, he put up 30 Mara Mekaymus, and somebody wanted to be Mavazahim, so he switched the Mara Mekaymus. He put up 30 unrelated Mara Mekaymus. He figured Rabbi Yisrael would then be embarrassed, and people would think he didn't know what he was talking about. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter walks in, he looks at the sheet of paper on the wall, he turns white, and like he shakes, he's shivering for a minute. And after a minute, he gives a gevaldige shiur based on the 30 unrelated Mara Mekaymus. By the way, that only worked with Derech HaPilpul. That doesn't work with Derech HaShem. With Derech HaPilpul, you can connect anything. So the Altar of Kelim used to say about that Maisa, don't think Rabbi Yisrael needed a whole minute to prepare a new shiur. He could have done it Geheref Ayin. But his 1 minute agony was a cheshbon hanefesh, would that be too gaivadik? In other words, the pshat would I be al gaiva by showing my iluyishkeit, and that he had to think about for a minute, or is it kedai, for the cause of being, of spreading our batzas musr to be able to do that, right? So we saw Salatra's tremendous evil. By the way, an example of a derech hapilpul, if you look at, again, I mean, most of us are not so ruggled in this, but if you look at a sefer like the Neid of Yehuda or the Tzlach,
about the
Megine Shlomo. Megine Shlomo a little bit so, but the Tzlach is maybe the epitome of what you might call emistic apilpul. The Tzlach is extremely intricate. He builds one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing. Now this is a pilpul that's considered to be Derech HaEmes, but it's a very, very complicated Marachas. So the Tzlach, the Negev Yehuda, might be the Urim V'Tumim is another example. A very, very complicated pilpulim. In fact, one of the Tzlach's drushes, just to give you an example of what the type of work pilpul did, which the Maral didn't like, is everyone knows in the Machlekes Abaya V'Rava, we always paskin like Rava, except in six cases that are called Yal Kegam. And the six cases have nothing to do with each other. One is Yiyah Shalomidas, and one is Adam Zomimim, and one is about Lechi, and one is about Kedushin. So, Bepashtus, we always go, right, there are six cases we don't pass like Rav of Asakibaya. The Tzlach shows in one of his drushes that all six cases are Lashitasa, that if you hold, Yiyah Shalomidas, you know, Lo Habe Yish, so Memela, all the other ones, Erev and Kedushin, and it all follows. This is a 120-page drasha. I'll tell you, I have not learned it. probably very few people have. But this is like the epitome of a classic, you know, a classic pilpul, to be makasher the six halachas of Yal Kagam into one thing. Or if you look, for example, there's a complicated sugya in at the end of the first parak of Pesachim on Tumah V'Taira. One of famous sugya, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kayanim. It's famous, like seven blad of very, very difficult Gemara and Taisus. So the Tzlach has, again, Pesachim has like 150 pages on the sugya of Pilbul. Now, the Maral was not necessarily against that, but what happened was, among people who were not of the same madrega as the Nedevi Yehuda, Pilpul degenerated into a very artificial, fake thing. Now, the Emma says the same thing happens with Lumbus today too. But I'll talk about that. Yeah.
How can we relate to the fact that the Maral didn't necessarily have a rebbe, just self-taught from Chazal? Most people can't do that.
Most people cannot do that. That's why the Maral has to be a rebbe. I mean, meaning like this: the Maral. Now again, I'm not saying for sure, I'm saying it's been speculated, meaning to say it's not a davar borer to us exactly who the Maral's rebbes were. We don't know. It's been speculated that he was what is called an autodidact, meaning he basically taught himself. But again, I mean, that's not totally unique. I mean, I could ask you, for example, who was Rebbe Yashuv's rebbe? If he had, you know, people he spoke in learning, but Rebbe Yashuv essentially, Rebbe Yashuv only spent 2 weeks in yeshiva. He went to Hebron, like for a week or something, and then he didn't like it. He went back to Yerushalayim. You know, the Chazanish, who was the Chazanish's rebbe, right? His father, okay, you know, I mean, Maral's father was also a Talmud Chacham. Say again.
His grandfather.
The Leshem.
His grandfather.
Yeah, but the Leshem, was nifter when Rabbi Yashuv was 12. I mean, it wasn't. Yeah. Who is the Leshem's rebbe? That's another question you could ask too. Yohan Navi Mistama, but which means it's not a totally unheard of phenomenon. But there are great Gedolei Torah who are unique neshamas. Now it's not enough. Is it a derech that I should follow? That we should say, oh, we don't need a rebbe. About it, that's not the case. And of course the Maral Bedavka in Pirkei Avos in the Perek of Memches Devarim Shatari Nikas, the Maral talks about the importance of a rebbe, the importance of a chavrusa. Now whether he had it in his life, that's an interesting shaila. But certainly Lagabi the Tzibur, the Maral very much is machshav the idea. But the concept is that the Maral Kemad is shayev directly from Chazal. You don't find the Maral says, I heard a pshat from my Rebbe. He never says it. He never says, I heard a pshat from somebody and the like. Now the Maral did have great Talmidim. Just even the Taisus Yomtiv was the Maral's Talmud. And in fact the Taisus Yomtiv quotes him in the Parish of Mishnayos. The Maral was one of the Gedalei HaPaiskim. Rav Hartman, you know Rav Hartman, Yeshua Hartman, who is the new editor, is putting together all the new editions of the Maral. It's an amazing thing that one person could do this. It's phenomenal. He's already done, I think, 26 volumes, and he's expected to do another 10 volumes. How can one person do it? But be it as it may, he says he once, when he came out with one of his svarim, he went to Rav Ovadia, who was his neighbor in Harnot, and he just studied. Asked Rav Ovadia, because he figured Ravadja would know, he says, was the Maral considered to be a great Pesek? So Ravadja said that the Nesei Kalim on the Shulchan Aruch bring the Maral 40 times. Ravadja knew right away. And he says, all 40 times they're masking to him. So he figured Ravadja would be able, he didn't bother to check the computer, just he had a neighbor as a computer, better than the computer. And he says, so the Maral was very, very forceful as a Pesek as well. Now, it's interesting historically, getting ahead of myself, that the Maharal, remember, the Maral is the generation of the Ramah, right after the Ramah. So the Marshal was around, right, and all these people were alive. Marshal, Lavush, Ramah, Maral was the tail end of it, so a little younger, and as it were. So the Shulchan Aruch itself, Rav Yosef Karo was not alive anymore, but the Shulchan Aruch itself had recently come out. Shulchan Aruch was a new sefer. It was like, you know, the Aruch HaShulchan that had just came out, right? The new sefer that came out. And the Maral was very much a misnaget against the Shulchan Aruch. Not because, and the Haggadah of the Ramah as well, not because he was mezalzel when we covered in the Beis Yosef. Of course that wasn't the case. But the Maral felt a Pesek, a Rav, a Mara D'Asra, a Mara Hayra, has to go back to the sugyas of Shas, and work out the sugyas and be machria. And if one rav says this way, one rav says this way, that's darka shel Torah. And you don't have guidebooks, you don't have books that tell you how you're supposed to pasken. So he bichlal didn't like the idea of the Shulchan Aruch. By the way, that was a common response in that door. For example, the Marshal. Marshal was a contemporary of the Maral. A little earlier, but their lives overlapped.
What about the Rambam? Why?
Well, the Rambam was also like that. Well, that's part of why the Ravid criticized the Rambam too. In other words, this goes over and over again every time.
Yeah, that's already an old machlokes.
It's an old machlokes. Yeah, I'm not saying the Maral was machanashit, but the Marshal was around then too, right? This is a door of many, many different gedolim. It says in the Mishnah in Saita, if you're Meira Halacha Mitoch Mishnah, if you paskin from the Mishnah, you're Mavale Eilam, you destroy the world, because you didn't go through the Ian of the Sugya. So the Marsha says, Oysam HaMeirim Halacha Mitoch HaShulchan Aruch HaNitfas Mechadosh. Those people that are Meira Halacha from the newly printed Shulchan Aruch, because it was relatively new, he says they are equivalent to the Meira Halacha Mitoch Mishnah. They're Mavalei Olam. So you're going to see, in fact, I'm going to show you, not this week, but before Pesach, some interesting halachic discussions Maral has about Dalit Kaisis and about Matzah, and you'll see, Taka, that some very interesting chidushim, which we Taka don't pass him like him, but it's interesting that he had that those mahalchim, yeah.
What's the story of the Agadosh of Pesach?
Yeah, I'll get to that. The Kitzer, it's a forgery, but it's 98% of the Maral stuff anyway, even though it is
other
a forgery.
Places.
Yeah, because the guy was, in other words, basically, I'll give you the history, but the person was Malakek from the Maral Sforim, and he added 2% Nofach Mishalo. So the MS is 98% of it is taken from the Maral Sforim, so it's the Maral, but.
So some, like exactly what people do today.
Yeah, so it's not a Gefelicha thing, meaning to say, it's not like, everything is Sheker B'chazah, but 98% is the Maral stuff. But he.
It's
only culture.
Yeah. But the person who did it, the person who did it is, this is going to be a fascinating, you really need a psychologist to fully understand this. The person who did it, was a chashuv rav and a Talmud Chacham and a mechaber of Svarim. The person was a chashuv person, but he had a tendency, he liked, on the side, he liked to forge things in the name of other people as well, and publish them. Now, why exactly? You have to understand exactly what, it's a strange situation. He made up stories about royal libraries in Kisiyad, where there was never such a, he literally, he found this in the royal library of Metz. There was no library in Metz. But people, I'll talk about that. In fact, that's even connected to the Golem story. That's all connected. He invented the Golem story too. All right. Anyway, let me just go over this a little bit. So the Maral was not born in Prague. The Maral is not from Prague at all. The Maral was born in Poland, in Posen, which was a chashuv shtat. And it's interesting, the Maral is a mysterious person. As I said, we don't know who his rebbes are. He seems to have come like yesh meyayin, like a bria chadasha. We don't know b'diyuk what his year of birth is. It ranges from 1506 to 1526. We have a range of 20 years. We're not sure when he was born. We do know that he died in 1609, which, if you take the earliest date, he lived over 100. If you take the later date, he didn't live that long. So his date of birth is totally in mystery. But in 1553, so depending how old he was, depending on when he was born, for 20 years, he was the Rav in Moravia, which is a province in now Germany. And he was Isaac in many, many things. He had a yeshiva there. He made many takanas hakahal. In fact, one of the things that Maral did in Moravia was he made takanas about the amount of money you're allowed to spend for simchas. These are called, the English term is a bit fancy, anti-sumptuary laws. He wasn't the only one, but he was the first one. many people followed him. He made takanas hakehila as to how many guests you could have at a bar mitzvah or a chasna or a sheva brachas, how many courses you could serve, you know, fish, meat, you know, how many side dishes, smorgasbord or whatever it would be, takanas, how many guests. Now, there's a machlokes, what was the site of these takanas? Like, why would, and by the way, the way it works was, it was also a revenue for the kahal, because if you had more guests, they didn't like kick the guests out, you just had to pay money to the key that you had a knas. So, lemaisa, rich people just, you know, invited who they wanted and they paid extra money to the game. So the question is, what's the reason? So there are really two different cheshvinas, and it's not always borer what the cheshvin of these takanas were. And as I say, the morale was mispashed in many places in Europe. One reason was that Yidden were poor. And there was a concept of keeping up with the Joneses. This is why in Ger and many Hasidic places they have such takanas even today. And if one guy makes a big, big chasna, the other guy feels he has to do it, and that'll bankrupt the person, and so you have to stop it by basically saying, it's Ka'ein, the Gemara said, if you remember, the Gemara says it by Levayas. The Gemara in Ma'id Katan says, originally they would make very, very fancy funerals. And then the Aniyim couldn't afford it, and they were mavuyish, and they were humiliated. So Rabban Gamliel was Masakein when he died, that he should be buried with plain tachrichim, and that became the takana, shelo levayesh, es misha einlay. By the way, there was a funeral home in New York around 50 years ago. It's an ingenious, unscrupulous ad. They were trying to urge Jews to buy fancy coffins. And they said, we are the original Minog Yisrael. He says, the idea of a simple funeral, that was an innovation, that was a reform of Rabban Gamliel. He says, we want to be machzer atara liyashna, you know, the authentic Jewish way. Okay. It's like, as a maestro of Yitzchak Yochanan, a Moscow once went over to him and said, how come you, from people, you're so backwards, you're so old fashioned? He said to them, no, you're old-fashioned. Mitchila evdei avaydazar hayu avaysein. You're going back to the old ways. But okay. So one cheshvin of the anti-sumptuary laws that the Maral is mechesh was shalol levayesh es misha einlay, not to embarrass people and not to make them bankrupt. There was another reason too as well. And this is, you see that, I mean, the Kli Yakar talks about this. So this was something that the Gedalim of the Dor were very sensitive to, and that is to be ma'ayrer kina bein ha'umais. That Jews were living in a ghetto, and if Jews were behaving too openly wealthy and everything else, the goyim would be makana, it would be jealousy, pogroms, whatever it would be. So Melech was important, it was felt, for Yidden to have a low profile kalape the umais ha'elam, not to be excessively fancy in what they're doing. So there's a machlekes, exactly. It's not bar. The Maral is not mazbir this. It's not in his writings. Whether this was mitzad shlo levayesh es misha einlay or mitzad kina. Now I will tell you, the Kli Yakar, who succeeded the Maral in Prague at some point, actually writes, this is a remes that Hashem tells Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, panu lechem tzfaina. Now that you're ready to go to Eretz Yisrael, go north. Safina. So the Kli Yakar says, maybe the Maral wouldn't like this kvetch, so to speak, but the Kli Yakar says, Safain is a lashon of hiddenness. Penulachem Safina, that the Hanhaga of a Yid about his wealth should be, but Safain, it should be hidden, it shouldn't be ostentatious, it shouldn't be open and the like. So the Maral, again, would Mistama not be maskim to the Drush, but the Machshava was vadai there. Now, yeah.
With the gay and allowing people to pay the knas, you want to help.
Well, you know, mice, a lot of people didn't, you know, a lot of people didn't do it. You know, again, I mean, the question is, what's the alternative? You're going to have, you know, Jewish guards with guns, you know, saying, you know, you're not allowed to come in. You know, it wouldn't be shy, really. That's the most realistic thing. Now, I want to say, you know, there's an attempt even now. Again, some Hasidic communities, Mamish, have such takanas. They have such takanas. And Aguda in America used to, I don't know if they push it anymore, but when they used to be the Jewish Observer, We have Mr. Walpin in our community. They used to publish always announcements from the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah that, you know, there are guidelines for chasanas. Although they said, what did they say? But then they said that takanas don't apply to rabbanim and Rosh Hashiva. Whatever they said, because they have special reasons. Whatever that already is a guarantee that takanas are not going to be mukovah. If the leaders say we don't, you know, this is for you and not for me, you know, it's not going to be that mukovah. But that's an attempt. And again, it is a cheshbon, especially. I mean, you know. You know how hard it is in Eretz Yisrael, Befrat. You know how difficult it is to marry off children when you have to come up with an apartment and everything else. And so Bechlal, there is certainly a makom for those takonis.
Why didn't make it to Kanana
Patmos? That would even be more useful. The only question is, well, in Ger they did. In Ger, they have a takana. They say that a newly married couple cannot live in Yerushalayim for 5 years. So, because Ger is a big kehillah in Ashdod, you know, and other places, and the cheshbon is because apartments are much cheaper, other places, right? But everybody wants to live here, so they made a takana. You're not allowed to live for 5 years, and then hopefully you have enough money to be able to buy. So they're making things like that. But again, it's hard to enforce, and really only among the chassidim and shaykh such a thing, because you know, among misnagdim everybody goes their own way. You know, nobody tells them exactly what they have to do. So these were his 20 years in Nikolsburg. Now after that, he spent the next 11 years in Prague. Okay, so he went from 20 years in Germany, born in Poland, 20 years in Germany. He went to Prague for 11 years. That's also a very, very interesting question, because in Nikolsburg he was very, very beloved. He was very makubal. And in fact, even after he left, they considered him their rav and their manhik, and they would ask him all the shailas. So this was not a forced leaving. He must have seen something in Prague. Now, some people want to say, this is already more historians than Balei Misaira, that Prague was a very interesting city. Prague had a lot of interesting things in science going on at the time, particularly in the Chachma of astronomy. You had Brache, you had different astronomers that were there, Kepner, and some want to posit that the Maral had an interest in combining these Chachmas with the Chachma Satira, and he wanted to be in a place that had all of these Nyanim, but we don't really know B'diyuk what caused him to go. But in those 11 years, the Maral did start another yeshiva. He was not the Rav of Prague. He did not go to Prague to be the Rav, but he became a great Rosh Hashiva. There was a Rav of Prague. The problem was he left Prague because they didn't offer him the Rabbanis afterwards. But now, in Prague, there was something. Only B'Seif Yom of Mamish. The third time he came to Prague, he was the Rav of Prague. He was not the Rav of Prague until the last time he got there. Now, I just want to mention something, that in the Sefer Nesivos Olam, which is a very important sefer on Midas and Adracha, the Maral has a long, in the Shara about Lashon Hara, he has a long discussion with letters that he wrote, dating from this Tekufa, about something that's hard for us to understand, but it was an issue that really, really polarized a lot of Europe. And that is, there was a term, a German term, which is actually a name now, but it's amazing that it's an Adler. There's a name, it's a Yiddish name. But Nadler apparently is an epithet. It's a derisive term that connotes a pagam of Mamzeris. So if anyone here is named Nadler, you know a Nadler, don't tell the person you know. Actually, there's a Jewish congressman in Washington, Nadler, but you know, so who knows? But Nadler were Lashonis that people would be mafarsim about certain mishpachas that implied pigamim of mamzeris and maybe even intermarriage with goyim and the like. And this resulted, this was taken so seriously that it was almost like, you know, people lost shiduchim, marriages broke up, children were meruchik from yeshivas and the like. And the Maral's point was that the use of this lashon of Nadler was pure Lashon Hara, it had no basis. to cast a pagam on someone's yichus is shvichus damim mamish. And the Maral made many, many speeches during this tikkun. In fact, one of the things that's printed is a Shabbos Shuva drasha of the Maral, a long Shabbos Shuva drasha, and it's devoted largely to this idea. And this is what he gave during his first tikkun in Prague. And in fact, the Nadler accusation was even used against the Maral's mishpacha himself. Even though it's makubal, the Maral's mishpacha is miyuchas to Malchus Beis David, 91 generations from David HaMelech. But remember, but of course, let me just mention this in a way. The Maral doesn't say this on his own anava, but in a sense, the accusation of a psul in the Maral's yichus is mamish daima to the accusation of a psul in the yichus of David HaMelech itself. In fact, there are deep reasons why Badafka there would be a tiny of a psul. Do you remember this? This is a very amazing medrash. It's a well-known medrash. It's an amazing medrash that Yishai, who is of course the grandson of Rus HaMoyavia, B'Sof Yamav, not B'Sof Yamav, but at some point Yishai was such a tzaddik that Yishai was mesupik whether he was kosher to marry a yid because he came from Rus the Moabite. So Yishai was Pirish Meishte. Now Lahalacha he was mutter because she was a female Moabia, but Yishai was machmer. So what his wife did was, his wife disguised herself as a shifcha keninus, like Yehuda and Tamar, and Yishai l'shitasai that he's pasul could marry a shifcha, would be the shifcha keninus. So he's with her.
It wasn't machmer.
Yeah, apparently he must have been. You couldn't say he was machmer because then he couldn't do either. He must have been machria that he's a pasul cow. So he then sees his wife pregnant. He sees his wife pregnant, and he knows, he thinks it's not from him. So he thinks she must have been mizana. And the child that's born is David HaMelech. So, state in Medrash, Yishai was machzik David HaMelech as a mamzer for many, many years. And that is why, the Medrash says, when Shmuel comes and says to Yishai, show me your sons, and Yishai brings seven sons, and they're not the ones Hashem chose, then he says to him, do you have any other son? So he said, oh yeah, I have David, you know, I have this kid, you know, but why didn't he bring? Because he didn't know David was his son. And it was only in the Skala, when David HaMelech was 28 years old, that he was not a mamzer. And the Medrash says that that's the meaning of the Pasuk, Evan Masu Habainim, Haisa L'Reish Pina, the stone, we said in Hallel today, the stone that the Bonim, the builders, Bonim, Altikri Bonim El Bonim, Masu Habainim, Haisal the Reish Pina. Now, there's a deep reason for this. The Maral talks about this in a general way. Why the Goyel of Klal Yisrael has to go through the pagam of aspersions and because that gives a person anava and that gives a person the notion that Einoid Milvay, all there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm nothing. David HaMelech's whole life is borrowed time. Because only the person who doesn't have a sense of his own gaiva is able to be the kli of geula. The Maral says all that. So, to me, Lanias Daiti, it's very, very interesting that the Maral himself, who comes from Malchus Beis David, had to face this serious, again, we don't even know how serious, but apparently it was a very serious accusation of the Nadler Pagam, and the Marshal went out to be Megan on the yichas of the Maral. Marshal was much older to be Megan on this, but the Maral devoted tremendous drasha. But what's interesting is, it is shayach that is why he left Prague the first time, because the people who were using Nadler, the Gemara itself discusses such a phenomenon. Do you remember the Gemara in Yevamos and the Mishnah in Edges talks about certain mishpachas that were balei zaraya. Balei Zaraya means big shots with money and power, and they would sometimes be Makare families who should have been Puzzle, maybe their own families, and they would be Marachek families that they didn't like. Meaning if they didn't like you, they'd find a way to get you, they'd find some fake basin or something that would say you were Puzzle. So the Nadler thing must have been a similar thing in which there were Balei Zaraya, rich, powerful, influential people who were passeling mishpachas in various ways. and the Maral gave a whole drasha against that, and you know, that was a courageous, difficult thing to do. And when the Rabbanus of Prague opened up, the Maral was the Gadol Ha'ir, but the Ashirim did not let him get the position. So after 11 years, he did leave. He went back to Poland, which is place of birth, etc. Then he eventually came back to Prague a second time. So be it as it may, without getting into all of the details, the Maral was in Prague twice. The first time for 11 years, then for 4 years, and in between he went to Posen after the first time and after the second time, and only Besaif Yom of Mamish, the last few years, the last 5 years of his life, he was asked to come back to Prague to be the head of Prague. So it's interesting, he's known as Maral of Prague. He spent much more of his life in other cities other than Prague. So for a lot of reasons, the Maral was sometimes unpopular. The Maral had enemies. Number one, the Nadler thing was a big deal. Number two, the Maral was a great, great critic of the educational system, of the Chinuch system. The Maral, in fact, this we should probably look at inside, because I want you to see it. The Maral as a tremendous taina, not only on Pilpul is a big taina, but on the fact that people are learning Taisus at too young of an age. So if they want to be mafalpul with Taisusim and Rishainim, the Maral basically says, go back to Pirkei Avos, the Zilberman method is the derech that the Maral recommends. Ben Chomesh Lamikra, you spend years on Tanakh, and then Mishnayos, and then as your seichel develops and as you acquire a Masudr Dika, Yediya Satira, then you'll understand how different things fit together. And the Maral says, this is why we have Amaratzim, this is why we have people who don't know how to Paskin, this is why we have superficial thinkers, because they never spent the time and they never had the hadracha that their learning should be orderly and mesuder, and you need a progression. It's fascinating. Now again, in defense of yeshiva like Or Sameach, we at least have an excuse, because the excuse is, obviously, if a person comes to learning later in life, so you don't have the Ben Chamesh, you know, you don't have all those years that set the foundation, so you gotta work a little faster, maybe you gotta start with something that, you know, normally should have taken more time. But, itach gisa, when you have your own children, you have to think about this. I mean, I mean, I'm not here to give anyone a psak. You talk to your paisik, talk to your gadol, talk to your Rosh Hashiva. But, you know, one has to think very, very carefully about what is the best derech. I mean, it's hard for me, again, on the ahedrit, it's hard for me to understand why the Zilberman Cheder is not an absolute chiv for everybody. I just don't understand what is the heter if I have a child at a young age not to do that. Bishlama, you know, you're older, you didn't begin learning till you're 20, alright, so you gotta do different things. But when someone is starting from the very ground level, then this is a Maral's taina. You know, it's really, but the Maral, again, the Maral is going back to Chazal, right? The Maral is going back to Chazal and basically saying, follow Chazal. I mean, that's the radical message, right? The radical message of Maral is, do what Chazal tell you to do. Right? It's radical. It's amazing that we consider that to be so revolutionary. But that's really the bottom line. But that also got him in trouble, right? That got him in trouble. Pilpul was very popular. When you were looking for a son-in-law for your daughter, part of what you were looking at, you would be mispoya in the harifas of Seichel, of my son-in-law, that could be Makashir, Nima, Manima, Milsa, Lamilsa, Mentes, Gerachim, Mutayres, Asheretz. Right? And now, this rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda, is getting up and saying, it's worthless! It's no good! So you see, the Maral is antagonizing the yeshiva. First of all, the anti-sumptuary laws got the yeshiva mad too. In other words, you see, a lot of things the Maral is doing are upsetting the conventional point. The Nadler thing, which kind of basically says, just because you're rich and powerful, that doesn't give you the right to be merachek mishpachas. The Chinuch thing, in which the shver cannot be mizgah in the pilpul, because it's really amaratzis. The anti-sumptuary thing, you're telling me I can't, you know, invite 10,000 people to my chasna? Who are you to tell me that? Other things as well, the Maral writes at the end of Ner Mitzvah, Sefer and Chanukah, a strange thing, and this is hard to understand, but you see it from other places as well. apparently it was a common practice among successful businessmen who worked with Goyim to matir stam yayin. Right? Yayin nesach is yayin that's actually used for avodah zarah. That's usher d'oraisa. But Chazal were geyzer on wine that a goy makes or wine that a goy touches, if it's not mevushel, that's called stam yayin. So apparently the maral is made, because the maral has shrei chai v'kayim, is made that even among shomrei mitzvahs, people who work with the goyim, it was considered to be makubal and acceptable to drink yayin with goyim. Why and what was their basis and was there some yisayid? Mistame the yisayid was that since avodah zarah gomer was not common anymore, so maybe somebody came to a judgment that the gezeira of yayin nesach wasn't shayach, although b'chayre, that would depend on whether Christianity is avodah zarah or not. But the maral spoke against that, right? So the maral was attacking, you know, the from businessmen who were having yayin with goyim. So for all of these different, Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah. Morinayim is another thing. Morinayim was, we'll talk about it. Morinayim was a sefer written by an Italian Rav, who was totally, from person. Rav Azaria de Min Adumim. It's called Rav Azaria de Rasi. I mean, Adumim. Rasi is red in Italian. And he wrote a sefer, actually it's a very interesting sefer, because it's quoted by the Tosfos Yavneh. It was actually quoted by the Maral's Talmidim and other people. It was like almost the first sefer that tried to compare Chazal with general history and see, you know, work out the accuracies, the inaccuracies. The Morinayim at various points came to the conclusion that in his shita, that Chazal made certain mistakes in certain areas. It wasn't halacha, etc. So the Maral wrote a whole sefer. The sefer Ber Hagayla is an attack on the Morinayim of Rav Azaria de Rasi, and he calls it kfira. It's very, very, the Maral is very, very stark against the Mechaber of the Morinayim. He doesn't mention the Mechaber. He doesn't mention the sefer, but everybody knows that that is the sefer that the Maral is writing against.
What was the
kfira? Say again?
What was the
kfira? The kfira was that Chazal made mistakes and certain agadas. Say again? Yeah, that's what it is. He considered to be Makri Chazal, and he considered to be a zilzal in Emunas Chachamim.
The whole sefer
of Ber HaGoyla is only on that? No. The Ber HaGoyla generally, the theme of the sefer is to show Emunas Chachamim in the Chachma Vagadata. That is the theme of the sefer. But what stimulated him to write the sefer was the Morinayim. And in one of the Sha'arim, he specifically attacks the Morinayim B'Arichas. But most of the sefer is on a defense of, in other words, again, well, Ber HaGoyla is a very fascinating sefer. We'll go over it. It's kedai with the Maral even to look at the tables of contents. It's kedai. It's kedai to say, you know, what does the Ber HaGoyla talk about, etc. What does Tverel talk about? Because then you see already the inyanim the Maral talks about, so then you know I can look here and I can see a discussion, right? That's a good thing anyway. You know, if Svarim have a mafteach or a table of contents, it's kedai to look at it, because then you have a sense at least of what is in here, and that itself is kedai. Because sometimes with Maral, we open it at random almost, and we just don't know what we're wandering in. It's like quicksand, you know. You don't have any place to go. So the Maral criticized the educational system. He criticized Pilpul. He criticized Ashiras, both in terms of the anti-sumptuary law and in terms of the Nadler controversy. So as a result, he was not always so popular, and sometimes, he was asked to leave, and he went back and forth between Poland and Prague. But Besef Yamov, he did come to Prague, and he did die as the Rebbe of Prague. It's interesting that, towards the end of his life, there's a famous meeting that is recounted in which the emperor in Prague, the emperor of Czechoslovakia, of whatever the country was there, Austria-Hungary, Hungarian Empire, had a meeting with the Maral. And there are many, many legends. We know they had a meeting. We're not sure what they talked about, for sure. Some say that the emperor was very interested in Kabbalah, and he went to the Maral to explain some inyanim of Kabbalah, but the Maral never spoke about what that meaning was. Some say it was to protect the Yidden from blood libels and the like. And the story of the Gaylim originates from that meeting. And let me just give you a little historical background. In 1909, now remember, the Maral died in 1609. So this is 300 years after the Maral's death. There was a Chashev Arav, who published a sefer called Nifla'ois HaMaharal, in which he recounts a story that after the Maral met with the emperor, the Maral felt that the Yidden needed more Shemira from blood libels than the emperor's protection. So the Maral made a Gaylim, a Tavnis of an Adam who cannot talk, and a Gaylim does not have internal organs. And the Gaylim was like Batman or Superman, whatever it is, that when there were Goyim who were trying to frame Yidden, the Gaylim would come around and punch them and take care of them and scare them. And the Gaylim lasted, according to the Nifla'ois HaMaharal, for 10 years. And then it got decommissioned, and it supposedly was in the locked attic of the Maral's base Knesset in Prague. Now, there are people who are made that they saw the decommissioned Golem. They say that Nazis went in and somehow the Tzura of the Golems frightened them, died, or whatever it is. Many, many different Meisim. But the problem basically is that, number one, the Meisim themselves, you know, we don't really know those later Meisim, people who saw it. But the first mention of the Golem in writing is 1909. By Rav Yudel Rosenberg, who's a Chashev Rav in Warsaw, and he claimed to have found the story of the Gaylim in a Ksav Yad. He didn't claim, he wrote it, as he claimed this was found in a Ksav Yad in the Royal Library of Metz in Germany, which had many Kisvei Yad, and that's also where he found the Maral's Haggadah. And he published the Maral's Haggadah, and he published Nifla'is HaMaral. Problem is, there was never a royal library in Metz. There was no Ksav Yad there. All sorts of details didn't match.
Maral wasn't in Prague for 10 years, really.
That's correct. He wasn't even in Prague for that long a period of time.
First
time was 11 years, but the meeting with the emperor was the third time, right? So the years don't work out. Oh, so he answered. The way he answered that is, he changed the date to the meeting of the emperor to the first time. He made it 20 years earlier, when in fact it was 20 years later. So here's the thing. So they say that Rav Rosenberg didn't make up the Gaylim story, because we can trace the Gaylim story as early as 1837. So 1909 is when he published it, but even 1837 is still more than 200 years after the Patira of the Maral. So most people say that the Maisa of the Gaylim is not Emes. But however, I think we have to say as Maminim that I don't believe the Maral made a Gaylim, but I believe that he could have done it if he wanted to. Meaning to say, the issue is not, did he have a kayach to do such a thing? I mean, the Gra had such a kayach, I mean, you know, Tzadikim can do such a thing. But historically, he probably did not do it. That's what they say. If you believe, they say about Hasidic stories, if you believe every story happened, you're a shaita. If you believe they couldn't have happened, you're not bikaris. Meaning, one has to say that it's shayach for a tzaddik to do such a thing. Okay, so the Gaylim thing is probably not a true story, although that's the most famous, at least outside of the yeshiva world, that's the most famous thing people know about the Maral. But the Maral is buried in Prague, and indeed is a very, very big matseva. And in fact, there's an old statue of the Maral that was erected by the Gaon. The Maral was considered to be such a great, great person and tzaddik, even among the Christians in Prague, that they actually put up statues in his honor. So he was a person upon which even the Gaon had different legends and different stories. So we'll stop here, and we'll amshich next week with some of the svarim and some machshavos.